What's new and trending in Maine farming? Long known as a state that produces lots of potatoes and blueberries, Maine is now also home to a growing number of other crops, some that have emerged in response to shifting consumer demands and to innovations in agribusiness. I'm Keith Shortall, and as we approach Maine's 30th annual Open Farm Day, I'll talk with a panel of farmers about how these changes are affecting the industry. We'll also look at how environmental change and concerns about the impact of farming and food production are also shaping the state's agricultural landscape. We'll also explore the growth in new kinds of farms that add value to the products they raise and grow by selling cheese, yogurt, and honey, and find other ways to generate income beyond what they earn sending fruits and vegetables to market. The Modern Maine Farm, today on Maine Calling. First, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios in Augusta, I'm Keith Shortall, and this is Maine Calling. The rich variety of Maine's farms will be on display next Sunday, July 28th, for Maine's Open Farm Day. As a lead-up to that annual event, we're discussing the agricultural scene in Maine and what farmers are doing to adapt to changing times. Joining me in the studio, Ann Trenholm. She's the coordinator for Maine Open Farm Day. Polly McAdam, who helps operate McDougal Orchards, and Corey Fowler with Northern Solstice Alpaca Farm. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you involved in farming in Maine? Would you like to be? Do you have questions about the specialties that are offered at farms in Maine? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome, everybody, to Maine Calling.
Good morning.
Ann Trenholm, I'm going to start with you. If you were to give an elevator synopsis, or in this case, a grain elevator synopsis of, how agriculture in Maine is doing at present. How would you describe that?
Well, I think there's a great resource that we rely on from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and that's called the Agricultural Census. And the 2017 numbers just came out, and we saw some really positive trends that we're looking at in Maine agriculture. For example, Maine agriculture farms who are involved in agriculture saw a 53% increase in farm direct sales. That's important because that tells us that these farmers are focusing on business sustainability measures to keep their farms going from year to year, generation to generation. We also saw that the organic farm sales increased by approximately 65%. And we know that in terms of Maine's GDP, or gross domestic product, we had about $320 million in economic opportunity there for farmers. And we're also seeing that we have farms of about 2,000 acres or more are increasing. They have their production capacity is increasing, and the number of smaller farms, so that 1 to 9 acres, are increasing as well.
Okay, so
Stuff's happening.
We'll go around the horn. Polly, how would you assess how the business is doing?
Our business?
Sure.
I think we're doing really well. I think there's a lot of people who are really excited about visiting farms, and that's our main business. We do pick your own apples, and we have other fall fruits, and so for generations we've been welcoming people to the orchard. Which I think is a really great experience and something that people continue to be really excited about come fall. And we are actually backing away from wholesale. It's something that we did for quite a while, but we're trying to refocus on the experience.
Bringing people in
so that they can learn and enjoy and, have a different kind of experience, a once a year kind of thing, getting out there and learning a lot and being able to be out in the fresh air, getting fresh fruit.
Sure. Corey Fowler, tell us a little bit about the farm and what we might see if we were to go there.
Sure, absolutely. When you come to the farm, you will see 37 beautiful alpacas. We really love participating in Farm Day. However, we're open right now in this season 7 days a week for farm tours. And we do make it an experience. We actually, Maine Alpaca Experience is the name of our business. So we, on days when we don't have a huge crowd, you're allowed to come right in the pasture and experience the animals up close and personal. Typically, alpacas are a little bit shy and timid. They don't like to be cuddled and petted. We have a couple of girls that never read that book, and they do demand attention when you come into the pasture. So we do have an experience for folks every day, and we have an educational facility that educates people. And our goal is to continue to keep people interested in raising alpacas to increase the herd size.
And where are you?
We're in Unity. For folks familiar with Unity, where the Common Ground Fair takes place at MOFCA, we are directly across the street from the Unity side entrance of the fair with parking on both sides. So we're a little bit out of the way, but that's a very well-known fair. So fortunately, and with Unity Pond right there, we get quite a bit of traffic on any given day.
Yeah. And you're a dairy farmer. Your family's been in the dairy business, which I know, having covered this sector for 30 years, you know, this is a story of, the loss of hundreds and hundreds of family farms. But my understanding, as I read in preparing for this show, that while that did happen, the dairy industry is still alive and in Maine, and in fact producing the same amount of milk that it did prior to the demise of these farms. How did that happen?
Well, in agriculture, like most small businesses, we know that farmers, especially dairy farmers, are looking to identify how they can meet their business goals. So some efficiencies have taken place, and also the diversification of it. I did grow up on a dairy farm over in the Winthrop area, but my job now is to actually help promote Open Farm Day. And so in my communications with these farmers, they're looking to identify ways that they can add value. So, for example, we have participants on Maine Open Farm Day who will be opening up their creameries. We have approximately 70 licensed dairies in Maine that add value by making cheeses, and it's award-winning cheeses, yogurts, different types of fresh and aged cheese products. And then we also see these dairy producers who might be shipping milk to Hood or Oakers. They're also looking at identifying the ways that they can remain in business from generation to generation. So they're looking to really say, how do we increase cow comfort, and how do we really say, what are the goals that we can do to keep family in business?
Okay, help me with cow comfort.
Cow comfort. So cow comfort is a term that we use in agriculture to identify how many times the cow can literally prefer to enjoy her day ruminating, chewing her cud, and really turning that grass and that high-quality food product into milk that can be turned into other dairy products that we love to eat for breakfast, if some of us around here, or sell to people who are looking to buy farm fresh products.
So that's an important part, is keeping the girls happy.
Keeping everyone happy on the farm is an important part to keeping agriculture going.
Right. So, Polly, in the apple business, we hear a lot about Maine's blueberries. There's a lot of blueberry talk that goes on. But for fruit, apple is king in Maine, is it not? And tell me about, I guess, you mentioned it's sort of geared up for the fall. But is it sort of relatively short season for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a short harvest season.
Yeah.
But apples are pretty amazing. You can keep them all year round. If you have the right facilities for that. There are some apples that you pick later on that were, you call them the rock apple or 4th of July, some of the names that you get, because they're the ones that you could keep in your root cellar. They might taste like cardboard in July, but you have an apple there, and it's still, you know, crunchy.
But apples would be an example, though, of one of those crops that does depend on weather, right? There are things that are out of your control that can change how your year goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true for all crops. It's one of the things that it's really weather dependent. There are a lot of things that are out of our control. Even during the harvest season, long time before the harvest season, so during pollinization, if there's rain, if there's an early or a late frost, we say the H word instead of saying hail because it could bring bad luck, especially for apples because they're a dessert fruit, high quality. And so if they have bumps on them, They're not quite as valuable. You'd have to make them into cider, into pies, which is perfectly fine. But it's not something that people like to see, I think, when they come to the orchard and look at the trees.
I have some statistics in front of me that I thought were kind of interesting. And one is just a thumbnail of the characteristics of farm operators. One is the average age of 57. And let me just go back to you. Mm-hmm. Is the aging of the farming population an issue, or is it being addressed by the entrance of younger people?
I think the greatest sentiment that we have, certainly in this room, is a testament to that. We are seeing that is an increase in younger farmers in Maine. The recent census numbers point to that. And also we see a diversification in Maine. Maine's known for female farmers, and we're really proud to be able to have a diversity of farmers in Maine, and certainly there's a couple of them in this room today.
Yeah. Another stat, I want to get back to younger farmers too, but another stat that I noticed was that the number of farm operators that say farming is their principal occupation is less than 50%. So, I mean, this suggests that they're doing other stuff to make ends meet. Corey, can you put yourself in that, explain in the context. Are you a full-time alpaca farmer?
I am in that, definitely involved in the alpaca business full-time. We have 3 retail stores, which we're demonstrating what we do with the fiber from the alpacas. And we don't meet that younger farmer. We both were in corporate world and human resources until our early 40s and no agricultural/farmer experience. But in our mid-40s, decided we were going to retire from the corporate world and raise alpacas. And from that fiber that they produce is so incredible, and the products that you make from it led us into the retail side. So one thing led to another, and 3 alpacas turned into 37, and a few socks being sold from the garage turned into 3 full-time retail stores. So yes, we do alpacas now full-time. But I didn't retire until 3 years ago to do this full-time. Keeping health insurance and so on was definitely important. But now we've moved past that, and we are making a living doing just farming and retail side of that same farming.
So it's kind of like the flip side of the conventional historical situation was with many farmers. They were great at getting stuff to get out of the ground and whatever, but maybe not so good at marketing or adding value or developing business relationships. And so that was sort of their weakness. In this case, you've got all the other stuff, and then you just have to fill it in with some farming knowledge.
That's right.
What kind of a learning curve was that to go from where you were to raising alpacas?
Well, we started, this was a dream of a young child seeing alpacas at the Common Ground Fair when it took place in Windsor, and it went on a bucket list, and go fast forward through the corporate world and said, let's really do this. So in 2000, we started researching, can you make money? How do you build a barn? What does this take to raise alpacas? And 2004, we built our barn. 2006, we bought our first 3 alpacas. So it was definitely an evolution. But we had to travel across the country in order to learn about the alpacas. They were not readily available in Maine. So we did about 3 to 4 years of research and then jumped in when we said, yes, this is a viable way to do business. And here we are today.
Yeah. And how common is that story now? Is that a sort of a story you're seeing more and more of?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing, again, to that number that more than 50% of Maine farms are trying to say, how do we diversify our market opportunities? And we know that's a need that farmers have asked for, and we're able to address that certainly at the Bureau of Agriculture and with other supporting partners through Cooperative Extension. But we're really hearing farmers say, these are my business goals, and this is the way that I'm going to market something that's more than an experience and create this luxury and necessity that agriculture has within our daily lives. And certainly to keep farms going, we do need to support them, and that takes dollars and cents.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you're probably not seeing a lot of, but correct me if I'm wrong, younger people with a business vision you know, getting into dairy farming, right? There are certain types of farms that are sort of more welcoming as experiential.
Well, yeah, dairy is certainly a labor and capital intensive program to begin, but we also see farmers offering diverse options. And we see farmers beginning their own cooperatives, which I think is really important to point out, because the more you can collaborate and cooperate and invite people to experience agriculture, the better chance you have of building agricultural awareness. And so, for example, the Maine Open Farm Day event that we're having on July 28th is going to be a way for people to really understand behind the scenes, what does it mean to support these landscapes, these working landscapes that are stewarded by more than 7,000 farmers in Maine.
Yeah. And Polly, in your case, you know, there's the other old story about the farm gets, you know, the business gets passed along, and then suddenly the next generation goes, I don't want to do that. I want to go to law school. I don't want to raise apples. In this case, though, you're in.
I'm in.
Yeah, and why?
Well, I'll be the eighth generation of my family who will be working the same land. It hasn't always been in apples before. It started as kind of a gentleman farmer who bought the land at a tax auction. And it's gone through different stages of modernization. Now we're kind of taking it back to the nostalgia kind of going out and picking apples and being there. But something that my mom mentioned earlier today is that there have been a few strokes of luck that it's stayed in the family. People have said, no, I'm going away. I want to do something else. And for whatever reason, they come back. And so I think for me at this stage,
may I ask how old you are?
I'm 27.
Okay.
I think it's something I really value. And if I had been maybe the second generation, I might not understand that. But seeing all the people who have come before me and interacting with people who, if that's the way that I introduce myself, I grew up on a farm. It's been in the family for so many generations. And hearing people say, wow, that's amazing. You know, I mean, it is. It's something that not everyone has. So I think it's worth holding on to for a few more generations.
If I might add, so this is Anne. So the opportunity that I have in my current role is I wear many hats in agriculture, but it's really been exciting to see multiple generations and even first generation farmers in Maine just understand what it takes to keep these entrepreneurial endeavors going. And so we may see, you know, you could remain in orchard, but certainly your family, as an example, has diversified to a variety of fruits. And we've seen, you know, certainly in the alpaca industry, that has grown tremendously with Maine's fiber industry. But the other thing about agriculture is these are working landscapes. And so we're not necessarily limited when we look at agriculture in terms of what your production system needs to look like. There's a tremendous support network for farming in Maine. And I do know family farmers in other parts of the country, and they are so excited to see that there's a place that has such quality products and such great people who are making it happen from year to year, from generation to generation. And I think there's a lot of first generation farmers that we're seeing who they have families, their kids are literally outstanding in their fields in many ways too. So it's exciting to see that. And, you know, again, what better way to do that than I'm going to keep saying it, but save the date for July 28th for sure on Open Farm Day.
All right. And we may be a first generation farmer, but we are responsible for opening two brand new alpaca farms, one in Belfast, Maine, and one in Harvard, Massachusetts. So part of our training is to get people out to the farm, educate them on alpacas, and let them know that it's a wonderful way of life. And if it's something that you've even considered, come and take our Alpaca 101 class and see if it's something that you can do, want to do, and we'll let you know if you're not right for it or if you think that you want to just work with us. We'll mentor you until you can make a decision.
All right, great. 1-800-399-3566, the number to join the conversation. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your questions and comments. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Evergreen Home Performance, a Marvin replacement contractor offering window and door replacement services. More at evergreenyourhome.com.
InSource Renewables is a solar cooperative of workers here based in Pittsfield, Maine. We're involved in the construction of solar energy systems for residences, commercial businesses, and municipalities. Our clients come from all over the state of Maine. They come from a variety of backgrounds, political leanings, age groups. Maine Public is great for that in terms of the breadth of audience that it has in all of those various demographics, as well as the geographic reach. We underwrite on Maine Public because we see Maine Public as a critical asset to the people of Maine. At a time when things are very polarized and we need information that we can trust, that's what Maine Public brings to the table. So, you know, as much as we underwrite with Maine Public to help establish a relationship and familiarity with our brand, we really see it as helping support an institution in the state of Maine that's critical to our future as both Mainers and as well as a Maine business trying to do well by our communities.
Special programming on Maine Public Television continues tonight as we approach the 50th anniversary of man's first steps on the moon. At 8 tonight, it's Year in Space, a behind-the-scenes look at astronaut Scott Kelly's 12-month stay on the International Space Station, where he tested human limits for space travel. At 9, it's 8 Days to the Moon and Back, which follows Apollo 11 on its historic journey, blending mission audio featuring conversations among Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins with new footage and NASA archive material. And at 10:30, it's Earthrise, telling the story of the first image captured of the Earth from space in 1968, told by the Apollo 8 astronauts. Our special programming schedule is at mainepublic.org. Click on television.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today on the program, farming trends in Maine. Joining me, Polly McAdam with McDougal Orchards, Corey Pratt with Northern Solstice Alpaca Farm, and Ann Trenholm, who coordinates Maine Open Farm Day that's coming up on, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, right?
Sunday,
the one after, the 28th. Anyway, we invite you to join the conversation. The number, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Joining us on the line now is Lee Burnett. She is with Sanford Trails and organizes Springvale Farm Walk. And I think you're there, Lee. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi, Keith. This is Lee with a low voice.
Sorry. I have she in my script. I apologize. That's anyway.
Thanks for the topic. Good show you have today. I just wanted to let folks know in Springvale, we have a farm belt. Polly's Farm, McAdam, McDougal Orchards is one of them. A cluster of farms that people can visit on Open Farm Day, and walking from one to the next. It's a four-mile self-guided walk, and we have, you know, everything from apple orchards to berries and vegetables and mushrooms and sheep, Christmas trees, and it's just kind of a neat little microcosm, and, we welcome anybody. We welcome dogs on leashes, and we have a little shuttle service so people can get a real good flavor of what Maine offers. We do have, you know, like Polly's family is eighth generation now, but we have some young farmers. One of them people might be interested in is a guru of the Internet of Things, and he's setting up all kinds of sensors and timers and geo-positioning to do this smart farming. He's got a small orchard and gearing up for that. That's kind of a neat new thing. Another of our farmers got into it from the business logistics side, and they do mushrooms, and in this era of safe food handling, you got to be able to track everything, and pretty much every mushroom has got a barcode on it. Not quite, but very sophisticated. There's all kinds of things to learn.
Yeah. What do you think? So this is under, I guess, the umbrella of agritourism, this kind of stuff, would you say? And what is that agritourism?
Yeah, it's just another way for people and farms to connect with the public. This is an event that not every farm has a season on July 28th. You know, one of our farms is a Christmas tree farm. Not many people are buying Christmas trees this time of year, but it is a new way for farms to connect with the public, and they can see more how what goes into these operations.
How much of this whole thing do you think is driven, at least in part, by the food movement? You know, there seems to be a heightened interest in food, in particular its sources and uses and this, you know, where it comes from and that whole thing. Is that helping the farming movement?
These people can answer that better than me, but I would say it's everything. Yeah.
Okay, we'll ask them. But Lee Burnett, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks for joining us today. Lee Burnett is with the Sanford Trails and the Springvale Farm Walk, which he talked about. Well, let me ask that question. Polly, I'll ask you first. Is the food thing helping the farm thing?
I think it's influencing people who make it out to the farms. And I think any interest helps. I think there's a lot of sometimes conflicting information on the internet, with a capital I. But I think increased awareness and interest, and people come to us with questions. And so I think that's something that definitely helps. People are more interested. And we actually see a lot of people who have small gardens or backyard apple trees now who are coming in and asking for help. And sometimes we direct them to the cooperative extension. So I think the community of small growers, even like really small growers, backyard, is growing a little bit because of that. And that's always a good thing.
All right. And calling in now is Jason Johnston with Aroostook Hops. Jason, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so okay. It's Aroostook Hops. Where are you? That's okay. It's a day of
mistaken names. We're up in Aroostook, just south of Presque Isle and Westfield.
Okay. Well, tell us about what you do. Obviously, hops are involved, but tell us about the operation.
Yeah, we've been growing hops for 10 years. We have 5 varieties on 4 acres, and we sell to a variety of Maine breweries mainly. And so on this day, we're going to tour people through the yard. They can see our growing systems, the irrigation systems, the sheep that we have in our yard that help us keep some of the weeds down. And we can talk a lot more about harvesting and packaging that we do later in the summer.
Yeah. Is the hops, was your business really, is it built on the brewing industry here, or how did it come about?
Yeah, we actually framed it on that directly. So we sell primarily to Maine breweries, and we called it Aroostook Hops, knowing that that name would mean something in Maine, and we directly sell to Maine brewers, yeah.
And what's the appeal there is that is this also a marketing thing, or is it a quality thing because it's closer, or why would Maine hops make a difference, do you think?
Well, I think the appeal
is Maine, I guess my other question is...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, is Maine a good place to grow hops?
So definitely the local appeal is important. People do like to buy Maine beer with Maine-grown products. And secondly, mm-hmm. Northern Maine is a really good place to grow hops because we have decent amount of sun and heat, plenty of moisture, and hops are adapted for our latitude. So it's a really perfect place to grow hops.
Yeah, and are you seeing, how is demand? Are you seeing an upward demand for your hops?
Well, we're a pretty small 4-acre farm, and right now we certainly have a decent amount of demand, and the number of breweries has grown from, I think, like 28 when we started to around 150. So we've worked with a bunch of breweries over the years and have built those connections, and business is pretty good right now.
All right, well, excellent. Well, thank you for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Jason Johnston. Yeah, Jason Johnston, co-owner of Aroostook Hops. And what are there other crops that we might not know about that are sort of emerging that find Maine a good place to grow?
Oh, there's so many crops. I mean, Maine really does have a diversity of production. You know, we do see our familiar crops. You know, we have dairy, we have wild blueberries, we have potatoes, and we do see the growth in the fiber industry. And, you know, certainly these pick-your-own areas. I think McDougal's, you now have even cherries and peaches, which people might not always associate with Maine, but they're delicious, and I think that's an important piece to notice. We also have a couple neat farms. I'd like to mention their production items, but if you've never seen an emu, which we have a couple of Maine farmers raising emus, and so that's a fascinating product. They do oils and soaps and things of that nature. So we'll have some farms who will be participating. There's more than 130 farms on Open Farm Day, and you'll be able to see all different types of production that happens. And certainly the hops, if you're a home brewer or you are enjoying a beer with families and friends at these restaurants that are reaching out and saying we want to create collaborative relationships with Maine farmers, you'll be able to experience that. We also have a trout farm that will be participating in Maine's Open Farm Day. That's actually Micmac Farms up in the county as well. And so that is run by the Aroostook Band of Micmacs. And they are going to be showcasing some of their aquaculture. So that's another thing that we see. And certainly Maine is unique because it's not a landlocked state. And a lot of our agriculture includes aquaculture. It includes things that you might see and be familiar with when you're shopping at a grocery store. But the other thing to consider is just the diversity that you'll be able to experience from land and sea, literally.
Yeah, we'll ask Jenny about that. Jenny's joining us from Clinton. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. How are you? I just wanted to comment. You know, I was flipping through the Open Farm Day guide, and I was just so amazed at the diversity of farms, and y'all have been speaking about that are opening their doors to the public to let folks like us explore and learn more and just really become closer to where our food and fiber are raised, produced, and where these engines of our communities really do their hard work. And, you know, I'm a dairy farmer here in Maine. Clinton is Maine's dairy capital. And even though some days it can be really tough to be a dairy farmer, and Anne touched on that really eloquently and thoughtfully earlier, today is just really one of those days where the future is just shining so bright. I got to share our farm today with high school students who are exploring their career options. And I just love the fact that whether they were looking to become welders or find a path in marine biology or in the medical fields or even the arts and computer technology, they can find a home in agriculture and a home in Maine's agriculture. And, you know, they just want to change the world and change it for the good. And being a part of Maine's ag community, you know, they're going to change this world. They're going to change our world. And it's just really a good thing. And our Maine Department of Ag, Forestry and Conservation is doing such a great job of building the relationship between the people who work on these farms and the people who depend on these farms and the communities that give so much to our farms. So I really just applaud that. And I'm really glad you're taking the time to explore these relationships today.
Yeah, Jenny, thank you very much. And Jenny, upbeat person. I'm going to ask, though, we run the risk of suggesting to our audience that farming is just, you know, easy and great and people don't struggle. So let's maybe, yes, Corey, did you want to address
that? Yes, I think that definitely farming is hard work. There is no question. In fact, I think that we have it pretty easy as alpaca farmers compared to some of the other types. They are definitely a lower maintenance livestock. But going to her point about educating the public, and Open Farm Day is a great time for all farms to get to tell people about their business and the work that's involved. But in some cases, the reward far exceeds the stress of it. And every type, whether it's livestock or apples or peaches, there's a downside and there's the weather to contend with and so on. But to educate the public and let them know all of the sides. And when we did open the training facility, we kind of went into it with the rosy glasses. And what we learned was not exactly accurate, that there was not always a bright and sunny day. There's a downside, too. So I think that for those people that are out there looking to learn, go in with your eyes open and know that there's ups and downs of every type of farming, and talk with the people. Be a mentor for the folks that are coming to your farm. And that's part of what we do that daily. If you're going to do any type of farming, educate yourself first. We get calls daily from people who think they rescued an alpaca from an auction. Well, they did. They took it out of that environment. However, if they don't know what they're doing, then they're taking it into an environment that may be loving, but they just don't know how to make an animal well. So education for all the folks.
1-800-399-3566. We need to take a break in a moment. I'm going to go to Andrew first. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. I'm a farmer in Montville, and I guess I'm calling in just to advocate for I don't know if the dire is the right word, but the farming situation is something that is very important, and I have a lot of fellow farmers and people that are involved in agriculture, whether it be at the slaughterhouse or where have you, that are working very hard just to stay in business. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to encourage everyone to support farms all year round as much as they can, because we need it.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Andrew. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Ethan in Portland, the number 1-800-399-3566. When we come back, your questions and comments. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Lamy Willahan Shoes, committed to reducing greenhouse gases at all their locations throughout Maine, because what's good for the environment is also good for business. And the law offices of Joe Bornstein, Maine lawyers committed to working for Maine people since 1974. Learn more at joebornstein.com.
I'm Greg Dalton on the next Climate One. Can we reinvent the city of the future by taking a step into the past?
If you make more bicycle lanes and do it properly, you get more bicycles. And if you invite people to walk more and use public spaces more, you get more life in the city. You get what you invite for.
Cities for the Future on the next Climate One.
Coming up shortly after Maine Calling at 2 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. The next stop on the Maine Public News Tell Me More tour is Millinocket, as Maine Public News travels the state to hear directly from you, learn what you feel are the most important issues in your community, and how Maine Public News can best serve you and keep you informed. The event takes place tomorrow at the North Light Gallery Annex at 256 Penobscot Ave, starting at 2 o'clock, immediately following a live Maine Calling on the Road with Jennifer Rooks, which starts at 1 p.m. sharp. For more information about all the Tell Me More tour visits, including tomorrow's Millinocket event, please visit mainepublic.org and click on Events or the banner ad.
Welcome back. I'm Keith Shortall. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, Farming in Maine. Joining me, Corey Pratt with Northern Solstice Alpaca Farm, and Trenholm with Maine Open Farm Day, and Polly McAdam with McDougal Orchards. Join the conversation, the number 1-800-399-3566. I do want to go, as I said, to Ethan in Portland. Ethan, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. Thanks so much for having me. First of all, a lot of respect to all the farmers out in the field right now tending to animals and crops. Such hard work, as was mentioned earlier. But I just started a community eco-arts organization called FART. And from my point of view, it seems like there's a misconception that the youth don't want to step up and farm the land. My friends and a lot of the people I'm meeting all are looking for acreage or plots to get vegetables in the ground or put animals on, but the price and the cost of entry is just far too high with our student loans and with what property is valued at now. It's nearly impossible for us to get a parcel to farm. I just wanted to say that I hear a lot of a narrative around, well, kids go off to the city and don't want to farm. Well, that's just not my experience. That's not what I see. With my kind of generation, I'm about 33 years old. I kind of see a solution being that if perhaps the public lands like parks or even side of like fields near the side of the road, if those could be allocated to up and coming farmers, maybe we could get people more invested and make a more community impact.
Yeah. All right. Ethan, thank you. And let me just ask you then, he's talking about, as we just heard, some of the barriers that not just young farmers, but all, I guess, farmers can face in terms of finding affordable land, et cetera. What are those? What did he list all the barriers, and what can be done to help them?
Well, I think as many of our listeners have heard today from our farmers here in this program, farming is a business. It's an entrepreneurial pursuit, and that's not without challenges. And so when we are beginning to say, how do I start this business, it does take a host of resources. And I would like to remind folks that we have resources that are available. You can go to the Bureau of Agriculture, and there's field workers who provide technical assistance. They can answer questions, help you understand how to create a business plan. That's an important component to really achieving your goals. The other piece to it, if you are interested in becoming a beginning farmer, and that's farmers who are under 10 years of operation, there's the Beginning Farmer Resource Network, and that's a great resource, and we'll be able to post that on social media as well for folks. But those are ways for you to network with commodity groups, with marketing groups, with fellow farmers, and the supporters and service providers who can offer technical assistance. I think that's a crucial resource. We've seen programs such as Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association's apprentice program. That's a tremendous tool. And I think, you know, we have seen that with fewer and fewer farms nationally, we need to be able to rebuild the relationships. And Maine does lead in that area, and it's not going to be without tremendous challenges, and agriculture really is one of those nuanced areas. So the resources are out there, and I'm happy to share those with folks, certainly. And we want to get people in touch with the resources so they can be successful, and we have more collaboration happening between farmers in our rural communities. Mm.
Polly, I'm wondering, when you know your family's been in this business a long time, do you ever get to the point where you think you'd like to take it in a different direction, or are you all sort of together on how you think that your operation should be run, or what it might try is something different?
Well, I think in our family, definitely every generation has done something a little bit different, which is nice because I don't feel constricted into one certain way of doing things or keeping things the same, because we have such a long history that it's gone through a lot of different changes. And we adapt to the weather, to the consumer, to economic stresses, to all kinds of things. And so I think we are, as I said before, we're focusing more on our retail and the experience rather than wholesale right now. And so I think that is a really good experience. It's a good way for us to continue to educate the people that come and focus more on that so that they get more out of the experience.
Let's go to Graham in Lincoln County. Hi, Graham. Welcome to the program. Graham?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm actually out right now distributing a copy of a farm-to-table restaurant that's part of the Lincoln County Publishing offerings.
I see in the note here you're saying this is all about farm to table. That's part of what's driving this, you think?
Sure. We do five different semantic issues of a magazine to support publishing here in Lincoln County, and this thematic issue is all about the farm to table movement. So we're covering restaurants, we're covering farmers. We have an article about Bremen Apiary Farms that has cares for special need farm animals. So although this is specific to Lincoln County, it has a greater appeal to the state of Maine, and just goes to show that someone even in publishing really gets touched by the agricultural part of our economic community.
Yeah, sure. Graham, thank you.
This is Anne. So to that point, I think it's important when we see a lot of these numbers coming across, we look at the census numbers, we look at Department of Labor numbers, some of the numbers that aren't as easily tracked because of the type of business operations that farms are, is about the economic multiplier and really what those, what that influence is on communities. So we have farmers who are listening today. We have farmers and supporters of farmers who are communicating with each other probably literally as they're listening. And I think those business relationships are some that aren't easy to necessarily tabulate, but we start to see some traction happening. And so we mentioned the Springvale Farm Walk that's going to be happening in conjunction with Maine's Open Farm Day. There's another great, what I would consider a business-to-business component happening within Open Farm Day, and that's the town of Bodenham's Open Farm Day event with also an art trail. And so it gives people an understanding to say, well, this business, which is an agricultural business, I can see that they may support fiber production, flour production, and food production, but they also rely on each other because it brings in customers for a unique event. And again, that experience that people are interested in. And then year round, you have an opportunity to really connect the dots and say, this is what it's going to take to keep businesses going. And again, to that point, which we've mentioned before, if you want it to be there, it's important to support it. And there's so many ways to do that.
Let's go to Claire in Portland. Hi, Claire. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm calling with the Greenhorns. We're an organization working to support the next generation of farmers. And we're currently doing that up in Washington County, north of Machias. And we have a series of summer workshops. And so I'm calling in about an agriculture trend. And what we see as a solution is a solution to building an agriculture economy is agrotourism. Much of what the show has been discussing so far today. Our philosophy and what we're doing is we're partnering with other great organizations and farmers focused on the land, the water, even the intertidal, and we're trying to bring people up to Washington County on their vacation and to visit the agricultural resources.
I'm wondering, maybe you're not familiar enough, Claire, with this, but I'll take a stab. Is there something to learn, do you think, from agritourism in other countries? In other words, this is a global thing. Where is the United States in this? And should we or could we learn from what's happening in other countries?
You know, I don't know enough to comment on other countries. I'm sorry. I know, you know, we're just from Portland and how much tourism it gets just for its food, and we want to show all the other tourists and tourists within Maine that, you know, the farms of Maine are the real gem and what is providing Portland and other cities in Maine with the great food. And kind of going off that, one of our workshops coming up is Sardine Camp, and we're having partners of Downey Salmon Federation, and also the chef of Eventide is coming up. And we're just working to pull in the people working hard on the farms and working hard in agriculture up to Washington County, just to get more people up there and start to build an agrarian economy.
All right. Claire, thanks very much. Anne, did you want to say something about...
Yeah, sure. So it's really important that we are having a conversation about agriculture beyond the familiar places where our visitors and residents may see agriculture in their daily lives. And Washington County is just a great place. It plays a valuable role. There's more than, I think, 125,000 acres that's stewarded by about 375 farms. And so it's important for people to see what's happening and build up these connections. And we really hope that people will take this to heart.
Okay. And so before we run out of time, I just want to go around again and find out what's going to happen on Open Farm Day, Polly, at McDougal Orchards.
Sure. So we are part of the farm walk that Lee talked about earlier. One of the things that's interesting for us, actually, on Open Farm Day is that we are not in full production yet. We will not have any apples to pick. But it's kind of a neat look. Talking about behind the scenes, it really is for us. And that's something that I think coming to Open Farm Day, but then also one step removed, following farms on social media, on Facebook and on Instagram, and seeing pictures of pruning in the winter, seeing pictures of deer damage in the spring. And that is also another way of staying in touch and seeing all the work that goes into this one product that you may only enjoy for 2 or 3 months out of the year.
Yeah. Corey, what's going on at your alpaca farm on Open Farm Day?
Well, we open from 10 to 4, and we have the tour of the farm is always free, but you get a chance to come in and meet the animals up close. We have, there are two breeds of alpacas. There are Wakaya and Surrey, and as an educational facility, we finally have purchased our first two Surrey alpacas. We've owned the Wakayas right along. So you'll get to come meet the mom. Her name is Celebration. And Nahani Mystique is our new little five-week-old baby. And they're absolutely beautiful. We have crafts and activities for the kids to do. We do soap felting, which is a lot of fun. It's taking the fiber from the animals and wrapping your soap in it. It becomes your scrubby, and it's just one of the many uses of the alpaca fiber. And we have our retail shop open, but it's a great way to see what we do behind the scenes and get that total experience. Mm-hmm. And we have cameras in our barns, and folks can subscribe to our cameras. We have folks all over the world subscribing to our live cam, so you can watch daily what's going on our farm.
Okay, well, we'll look for that. And will we know which alpaca we can snuggle and which one we can't?
If you come and ask for Spain and Savannah, okay. Provided they're in the mood.
Yeah, okay. Make sure they're in the mood. And we can't talk about all the stuff that's going on at Open Farm Day, but is there a website
people should go to? We would like to invite people to go to www.getrealmaine.com, and you'll see a list of more than 130 participating farms in all 16 counties across Maine, and follow along on social media with hashtag Maine Open Farm Day.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much for being here. It was really interesting.
Thank you.
Ann Trenholm is coordinator for Maine Open Farm Day. Polly McAdam helps operate McDougal Orchards. And Corey Pratt is with Northern Solstice Alpaca Farm. Today's show was part of Maine Calling's continuing focus on rural issues that affect our state. Sandra Harris ran the board today. Ella Boyd took your calls, and we had help from Dan Works and Scott McCallum. You can find past editions of Maine Calling, as well as helpful links and resources, by visiting mainecalling.org. Today's show will be rebroadcast tonight at 8. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. A quick note about tomorrow's show. Maine Calling will be live from Millinocket at the North Light Gallery. We'll talk about the Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument and how things are going there. And then right after the show, we'll have a Maine Public Tell Me More community discussion. You can visit mainepublic.org for more information. Hope to see you there. I'm Keith Shortall. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.